jealous that I don't have a pretty flower on like Brother Reed has this morning. Bless her sweet heart. Maybe he'll share his with me one day and I'll get to wear that pretty flower. Open our Bibles this morning to three different places. The book of John. John 10, we're going to look first, John 8 and John 13. John 10, John 8, and John chapter 13. Thank the Lord for the good music, the opportunity to hear some people sing who have talent, love God, and are willing to use that talent for the Lord. I was in a camp meeting with Brother Theophanopoulos and his wife. Some time ago, a week ago or 2 weeks ago or something. It was a while ago anyway. And we had a good time. And I appreciate them and their love for the Lord. They'll be going back, what is it, July 21st? Back there. So you pray for them and pray that the Lord would be with them. John chapter 10. I want to read one verse from this passage. John 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John chapter 13, and the last verse that deals with this passage where the Lord illustrates or gives us this illustration of foot washing, but verse 17. John 13, 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again as we start this time preaching the Word and ask His blessing once again on the message today. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And we thank you for an opportunity that you've given us again to meet visitors that are here for the first time, others that have been here before, and your people that are members of this church. I pray for them and intercede and lift them up as I've done this week and even today, that you'd meet the need of every Christian that's here today. I pray for those that are saved and those that know Thee in a real way, that the Word of God might minister to their heart and might meet their need and feed their soul today. And dear Lord, for any person that's lost, that today might be their day of salvation, that today they might turn from their sin, turn to the true and living God and trust Him and be saved. Dear Lord, bless this service today. As you've laid this message on my heart, now give me the ability, the freedom, the power, and the liberty that I need to preach this message and say just what you'd have me to say this day. Be pleased by what happens here today and be honored by what's said, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was in Washington just a week or so ago, we had the opportunity to go to see a few places, more or less just driving by some places while we were there. But one place we got to go out and visit with Brother Cargill and Brother Theros and his wife were there and some others, was we got to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and watch the changing of the guard that was there. And as I was there and looked at that Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, as I walked through that cemetery and seen all those headstones and those men who had given their lives in service, the spirit of patriotism moved in me, and I'm glad that it did. As I saw the color guard and those changing of that guard, and as I saw that place and those men that had given their life, I'm thankful for the country that you and I live in, and I'm thankful for the freedom that we enjoy. I'm an American, and I'm glad that I am an American. And I say it with not any proud egotism, but with humble gratitude that God has let me be an American, a citizen of the United States of America. And as I saw that Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and those others that were there, I got thinking about the men who were willing to pay the supreme sacrifice that you and I could enjoy what we're enjoying here today. A lot of them were no doubt not even Christians or not even saved, but they cherished freedom so much They were willing to pay the supreme price and lay down their lives that we could enjoy freedom like we have this morning. Some of you that are here this morning that fought in World War II, I want to thank you for fighting and preserving the freedom that we have. Some of you that served in Korea, I appreciate you, and I thank you for going and fighting for us and we that were here. Those that served in Vietnam, maybe some of you that were there. And a lot of times I think the men that fought the Vietnam War have been neglected in a lot of different areas and ways. It was a war. It's a bloody war. And I thank you, men, that went and hazarded your life for us that we could enjoy, gave your life and sacrificed, laid your all on the line that we could enjoy what we have here today. Some of you maybe had parents or grandparents that fought in World War I. Maybe some of them made it home, some of them didn't. But I want to thank them for that. And as we come to this time of the year, the July 4th, our Declaration of Independence, and celebrating that, I'm glad that I said I am an American. Now, I'm not just an American because I was born here. I'm glad I was born here. If I had it all to do over again, and I didn't have much to do about it, my first birth anyway, much to say about it, but if I had it to do over again, I'd be born right here in America again. Even in its fallen, wicked condition, it is still the greatest nation on the face of this earth. But I'm not just an American because I was born here. I'm not just an American because of my lineage. My lineage is Scotch-Irish from Europe and those European people here, and I'm glad for that. But there's a lot of people from all over, little countries and unimportant countries like Germany that got to come to America. And they're just as proud to be an American as anything and as anybody that's here, and I'm glad for them. But I'm not just an American because of that. Many people, their lineage can be traced all over this world. I'm not just an American because of my religious beliefs, but I'm glad for America that has a Protestant Bible-believing heritage. I'm glad for American people which founded a nation that believed in separation of state and church, a nation that believed we had a right to worship God in any way we wanted to worship. I'm an American not because of my birth or my lineage or my religious beliefs, but I'm an American because of the fact that I believe in what America was founded upon and what it stands for. I believe blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people for whom God hath chosen for his own inheritance. I believe America is a nation that has been blessed because it was founded upon biblical principles and Christian philosophy. And I believe that our nation has been blessed because it trusts and relied on God. And the trouble we're in today is because we're no longer trusting and relying on God. America will only be great as long as the God that they serve is great in the eyes of the American people. And when God ceases to be great in the eyes of American people, America will cease to be the great nation that it is. America is not great so much because of the people that are Americans that are here, but America is great because of the God that they serve. Other nations were founded because of cultural reasons. Other countries came into existence out of out-and-out power. Other nations came about because of the search for wealth and money and possessions and religion. America is the only country in the history of mankind came into existence for religious freedom based upon biblical principles and Christian philosophy, and I'm glad that I'm an American today. If you're not American, my sentiments are the bumper sticker, love it or leave it. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more. If you don't like her, bud, get gone. I'm not for bussing, I'm for shipping. Get them all the way out of the country. Don't worry about shipping them across town. They're so sad up, but they're so fed up with this society. They're so fed up with America and this civilization. Get gone, bud. Go jump in the ocean and take you a swim somewhere else. I'm an American. I'm glad for that. I'm thankful that. There's no use you trying to take God and America and separate them. God has always been etched in the history of American people. You cannot separate the founding of this country from God. When our pilgrims landed there on Plymouth Rock, the first thing they did was get off that boat, get on their knees, and thank God that they had come to America, and thank God for the place. When they did, you know how they closed it? In the name of God, amen. God is written into our history. When that Continental Congress had difficulties, they came to a problem that they couldn't solve. Benjamin Franklin said, if we have a problem we cannot solve, it's time we fall on our knees and go to God, the one who can solve any problem that we have. When those 55 men met to write the Constitution of the United States and declare our independence, 52 of those 55 men were professing Christians who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first coin that was ever made, Moses was on that first coin. And look at your coins and money today. In God we trust. God cannot be separated from American history. God cannot be separated from America. And the reason America is on the downhill run today is because they have turned their back on God who blessed them, turned their back on the Word of God, and America will cease to be great when American people cease to look for greatness where it's found with the Lord God Almighty Himself. America, America, the tomb of the unknown soldier. You know what it says at the bottom of that? Known only to God. You walk up through Arlington Cemetery and look at every one of those headstones. You know what's at the top one of them? A cross, a cross. I know what it symbolized. I know about Babylon, Hyssop, and all that history. But you know what that cross signified? It signified the cross of Calvary and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot separate God from that. A picture of America to me is Washington when he was there at Valley Forge fighting that battle. Insurmountable odds, it seemed. Starving, freezing. It seemed like they could never win. The picture you see of Washington who's on his knees praying for God to guide this country and to guide these people. The Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. It's a day that's been abused by the world. The world looks for any reason they can to party. I mean, that's all they want. That's all they wanted. An opportunity to go to the beach and bathe their beautiful body. An opportunity to go and show off their worm food to somebody else. Nobody interested in seeing your body that one day will be worm food. We're to have no confidence in the flesh. Cover the stinking stuff up. Do us a favor and stop exposing yourself to everybody else that's around you. All it is an opportunity. You think of this great country and how people celebrate you. Oh, yeah, let's get drunk. Let's go to the beach. Let's party. This day ought to be a time when we pause and think. It ought to be a time when we stop and pray. It ought to be a time when we praise and thank God. The Declaration of the Independence, when they wrote, it begins, when the course of human events, so forth and so on, to get down to that second paragraph, it says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I want to take those three words this morning and for a few minutes bring you a message on those three words. Life, liberty, and happiness. Our forefathers came to this country looking for three things. Life, liberty, and happiness. I don't care who you are in this building, you're looking for three things. Life, liberty, and happiness. It may come to you in a different form than it does somebody else. It may come to you in a different way than it does to somebody else. But sure as God blessed America, and sure as God gave many of our early forefathers those things, we can have those things as well. Now, I want us to realize this morning that God offers us life. God offers us life. In our text where we read in John 10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God offers us real life. Real life can be found in one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our forefathers came to this country to serve God and worship God. Do you know why? They knew the only way they could have real life and enjoy life was to have freedom to worship the God that they love, serve the God that they love, and spend their life in service for Him.
Let me do something for you that's a favor. Let me save you some money, some trouble, some heartaches, some tears, some problems. Let me save you your life and years. And let me tell you, life, the life that you're looking for, is not out in that stinking world. The life you're looking for is not in your life and living and doing what you want. The life you're looking for is not found in what the devil can give you. But life, real life, is still found in the only place where it's ever been found, and that is in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. As our forefathers came in pursuit of life, man looks for life this morning, and I'll tell you where life is found. It's found in serving Jesus Christ. It's found in serving the true and living God. And if you're here this morning looking for life, as our forefathers were, I can tell you in one word where it's found: Jesus. I can tell you one place where it's found: Jesus. One person where it's found: Jesus. Some of you don't believe me. You're already upset. We're just on the first point. Hang in there. It won't be much longer. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You look for life in this world and it cannot be found. You look for things here that will give you life and they cannot give you life. Let me tell you, the only real life to be lived is a life lived in service for Jesus Christ. And if you're lost and you're not saved, you're not living, you're merely existing day by day. And the reason some of you Christians look like you got that old mule face religion this morning, your jaw, your belly, your lower lip is done out over your belly button, as Dave Jones said, and you there so long, is because you are saved and you ain't living for God. You're living for yourself and you're miserable. You're living for this world, you're miserable. You're living for the devil and you're miserable. And I'm here to serve notice on you, try to save you some time and some money and some heartache. Real life is found in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, when he said, "I am come that you might have life," he wasn't just talking. When he said, "I am the way, the truth, the life," he wasn't just uttering words. Life, real life, is found in Jesus Christ. Some of you won't pay any attention because you're too dumb to learn. Let me tell you, Coke is not the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. The real thing in this life is Him. The Bible said, while we look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, you know what He's saying? The only real life there is to be lived is our spiritual life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your house, your money, your popularity, your possessions, your body, they're all going to fall to the ground. Everything you see is temporal. The only thing that is eternal is the things which are not seen. And your life can only be a real life when it's hid in Jesus Christ and live for Him. Why are some of you so rebellious? Because you're living your own life. That's why. Why are some of you there? Listen, our forefathers wanted life. They may not have all been saved, but they had enough sense to know where life was, and that is in serving God and worshiping Him. They may not have all been born again, but at least they had that much sense. Several years ago, I led a man for the Lord in Lebanon, Ohio. A story I've told you before. A lady was married to him. She was deaf, couldn't hear. They had been a member of a church, and I witnessed to him, I guess, for about 6 months as he died of cancer. Tried to win him to the Lord, tried to talk to him. Went over and over again, tried to witness to him. He wouldn't listen, wouldn't talk to me. And finally, the last time I went to his house, he wouldn't even recognize I was in the house. Wouldn't even say my name. Wouldn't even look at me. Wouldn't even say I was there. I'd been to him over and over again. In the hospital, he wouldn't even talk to me. I'm not talking about small talk. I'm not talking about casual talk. I'm not talking about saying, "I'm glad you're here. Good to see you, preacher. What's your name?" Not talk it to me or not even look to me. Last time I saw him, he was watching the television. He wouldn't even look at me. He wouldn't even say, "I see you're here." Nothing. You talk about discouraged, I was discouraged. And finally, his niece, who was in the church, asked me if I would go see him again. And I went and saw him one more time. And when I went up there that one more time to his room, I walked into that room to a man who hadn't even spoken one word to me the last time times I was there. I walked up in that room and he said, "What you know, preacher? How you doing, preacher?" And I said, "Something done happened to this man." And there was that man, 70-some years old, and I said, "Well, I don't know much, but I know where I'm going when I die. What do you know?" He said, "I don't know that." I said, "Would you like to?" And he said, "I sure would." I thought, "My Lord, you'd never known it by talking to you, amen?" I opened that Bible and got down there and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. His wife was standing right at the foot of that bed. They'd been married over 50 years, and she had been saved all of that time. She had suffered the torments of a living hell because she married an unsaved man. She spent 50 years in hell on this earth because she messed around with somebody who wasn't saved. I'm just telling you how it is. Don't like it, too bad. Lump it, choke on it, chew it, spit it out. We'll give you a little bit of this hymen, you know, this maneuver a little bit. We'll get you out of it. It'll be all right. Hymen, just stay there. We'll get you going in just a minute. But there in that room, I knelt beside that man. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was crying. His wife was crying. She couldn't hear anything's going on, but she knew what was going on. The Spirit of God bore witness to her spirit, and that man got saved in that room. And he lived 7 days. 7 days. 1 week. And you know what? All he wanted to do was have his wife read the Bible to him every waking moment. And she said, "Brother Jim, all I did was read the Bible." When he'd get too tired to read the Bible, he'd say, "Let's pray." She couldn't hear anything, but she could read his lips. And said, "For 1 week, that's all we did." And she said, "I want you to know, in that 1 week, with him being saved, of over the 50 years I was married, was the happiest week I ever had in my life." You know why? Life is in Jesus. Real life, abundant life, is only found in one person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. God said He come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Real life, abundant life, and everlasting life is found in Jesus Christ. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The best thing about being saved is the best am yet to come. Hallelujah! Some of you dropped your upper plate then, bless God, amen. Yeah! The best is yet to come! Man, we was up there in that camp meeting, I'll tell you, singing, preaching, I don't know what's going on. In the body or out of the body, I could not tell. Man, it was good. People shouting, hollering, running around. I preached myself silly. I couldn't even hear what I was saying, but it must have been good. I tell you, I don't even know what I was. Nobody could hear what I was saying, but it must have been good. They shouting it out, and when I got done with that, Jesus said, "That's just a little foretaste of what's yet ahead." He said, "That's just a little earnest of your inheritance." I said, "Well, it makes me earnestly desire to go and be with you that much more." You know what everlasting life means? It doesn't just mean we're going to live forever. Listen to what I'm saying. Everybody is going to live forever. If you're lost, you're going to live forever. If you're saved, you're going to live forever. But if you're lost, you're going to live forever in torment, agony, and pain. But if you're saved, you're going to live in peace and blessedness and joy forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. It'll be 1,000 times better than the best service you have ever been in your life. It'll be 1,000,000 times better than the best sermon you ever heard preached. We'll get up to heaven and say, "Jesus, preach something." He'll say, "I." And we'll go, "Whoa, yeah! Hallelujah!" He'll say, "I am." We'll say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, you am." You say, it isn't going to happen. "Oh, yeah, because I'm going to be there, bless God." Let me tell you, I can not only shout when I preach, I can shout when somebody else is preaching. And when Jesus gets up there and starts, I'm going to say, "Yeah, fire on down, Jesus. Shoot him on down. Do it. Do it. Do it." Man, I'm telling you, the best thing about this life is it's everlasting. Forever and ever. Man, think of the best time spiritually you ever had on this earth. It's just a little foretaste of what is yet ahead. Peace, joy, contentment, happiness forever and ever and ever. I think they call it heaven. I think it's what it is. Amen. I am come that you might have life. The president of a railroad company lay dying several years ago. And as he was laying there dying, his son held his hand. And he said, "Son, you're holding the hand of one of the greatest failures this earth has ever seen." And his son said, "Dad, how could you call yourself a failure? Said you grew up in this world, educated yourself, went into business for yourself, got on the railroad company, and worked your way up from a common laborer all the way to the president of this railroad company. He said, you've always taken care of mother and us kids. You've provided for us well. We've had the best of this life. We've had education. You've hired people that needed jobs. You've given people money that you knew could never pay you back. You've given to charities. You've given to organizations. You've done all of this." He said, "How could you be a failure in this life?" And he looked at his son and he said, "Son, all that you said is true. But in all that, Jesus never found a place in my life." And he said, "No matter the man or the woman in this life that leaves Jesus out of their life, they are a failure no matter what they accomplish down here." You know why? The things you look at are temporal. They're going to fall. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life." Life and liberty. God offers us liberty today. Why did our forefathers come? Because they got tired of church and state. They got tired of some stinking ungodly church telling them what to do. They got tired of somebody sitting up there and telling them how to run their affairs. They got tired of a church that was so involved in every part of their life that it told them what to do, what to think, where to go, and how to be involved. They got tired of that and said, "We declare independence from England, the Church of England, all of its ties, all of its things that are there. We want liberty." The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." God not only offers us life, real, abundant, and everlasting, but God offers us real liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul warns the church in Galatia, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." God wants us to be free. God wants us to have liberty in this life. But do not confuse liberty with the modern day interpretation that liberty is a license to do whatever you want. That is not a biblical definition of liberty. Liberty is restricted by love. Now, you love your children. Sometimes. I mean, sometimes you wish you could kill them. I mean, you just really do. You just wish you could send them on to heaven ahead of you and meet them. No, I know you don't. You lovely people. You always loving your children all the time. But if you got any children, your natural tendency is want the best for them. You want them to have better than what you have. Now, the trouble is people confuse better with material possessions. That's not always better. Some of your children would be better to go to some foreign field and suffer as a missionary all of their life. That'd be something better than you and I could ever do in this life. See, better, you better describe it and define it in terms that God uses and that He describes and He defines in the Word of God. But even though we want something for our children that is better and we wish them higher than what we've done, that freedom is restricted by the fact that we love our children. We don't just let them go out. I mean, you got a one-year-old kid. You don't set him up on the stove and turn all the burners on and say, "Here, kid, you got liberty to play with all these burners." You don't give him a big butcher knife and say, "Yeah, you got liberty. Take this butcher knife and do whatever you want." No! True liberty is restricted by true love. Don't think that liberty is a license to do whatever you want. Liberty without discipline ends in slavery. I want to be free to drink when I want to drink. Some of you dumb thump Christians drink. don't look at me like that. Some of you dumb thump Christians drink. I want to be free to drink, free to drink, free to drink, free to drink. That liberty, if not discipline, soon becomes slavery. And you're no longer free to abstain any longer. I want to smoke. I want to do what I want. I want to go where I want to let myself go. Which self? The old depraved, the damning nature? I want to let it go. Let me tell you, liberty God offers to you and I. That liberty that it gives us is not a license to do whatever we want. Peter Marshall in the Congressional Record of the United States Senate said this, Lord Jesus, Thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Hear us as we pray for the truth that shall make men free. Teach us that liberty is not only to be loved, but it is to be lived. Liberty is too precious a thing to be buried in books. It costs too much to be hoarded. Make us see that our liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to please to do what is right. Liberty is not you pleasing to do what you want. Liberty is that. The Lord gives us liberty from ourselves. He promises that freedom. He said, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof. Unsaved people are slaves to their self. Thank God when we got saved, He gave us a little bit of freedom from ourselves. Crucify that old nature, that old man, and that fallen man, and we can get liberty from ourselves. We can get liberty from Satan, who we once were all in bondage to. Thank God for the liberty that He can give us from sin. God offers us liberty that's real. Liberty from yourself, liberty from Satan, and liberty from sin. Thank God that we've been saved from that penalty of sin. The Bible tells us, being then made free from sin. Thank God we've been saved from the power of sin. Sin should no longer reign in our mortal members. One day, we'll be free from the presence of sin. A young girl got saved, and she came to church, and they were asking her about joining the church, and questioning her, one of the old deacons. And he said, were you a sinner before you got saved? She said, yes. He said, now, since you got saved, are you still a sinner? What he was trying to do was show some things that she had done, a change. The young lady hung her head and she said, sir, I'm afraid I'm a sinner. She said, there's times when I think I'm a greater sinner now than I ever was before. And he said, well, what proof do you offer as a new birth experience in your life? What real change have you experienced? The young girl was nervous and she said, I don't know. But all I know is I used to be a sinner running after sin. And now I'm a sinner running from sin. Hallelujah. Your attitude toward sin will show a change. Christ offers us real liberty. Many years ago, a well-to-do Christian bought a slave, and slavery was still in practice. The man abhorred the practice of slavery, but he was rich, and from time to time he bought a slave for the purpose of one thing, setting him free. And after he bought this slave, he met him afterwards, and he told this slave, it's true that I bought you. I only did it for one reason, so that I could free you from the terrible bondage that you have known. The slave couldn't believe it. The slave could not believe that somebody would buy him and purchase him just to free him. And when he looked at him and got done, he said, am I free? Am I truly free? And he said, yes. And he handed him his papers to show that he was free. He was so overwhelmed by this man and his action, he fell at his feet. He said, if I'm truly free, then my greatest joy and freedom will be to stay with you and serve you gladly all the days of my life. You and I, we're on that slave block one day in our life. Somebody said, who'll pay the price for this soul here in bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil? And Jesus stepped forward and said, I'll pay the price. I'll buy him, but I'll buy him but for one purpose, to set him free. And when he saved us, he set us free, gave us our walking papers, and we've been free ever since. What should we do? We ought to fall at his feet, and the greatest joy and freedom we'd ever have would be to serve him who sought us and bought us and loved us and has set us free. God offers you liberty. I'll tell you something else God offers you. God offers you happiness. Our forefather said, men look for those three things: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Jesus said in John, happy are you if you do these things. The book of Proverbs said, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. The Bible said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Happy shalt thou be. Happiness has been a pursuit of man from day one on. Adam and Eve in the garden, you know what they wanted? Happiness. I really believe the reason they put to that tree was one thing. They thought maybe it would bring them some kind of happiness they were missing in this life. And man has thus been reaching out for something to bring him happiness. Man spends millions of dollars traveling around this world looking for it. Man travels, searches, spends, and tries everything that he has. The truth is, real happiness can only be found in Jesus Christ. True happiness is neither within us or without us. True happiness is in our union with Jesus Christ. That's where true happiness is found. Happiness comes not from having much to live on, but it comes from having much to live for. And you know what? If that's true, some of you ought to be very happy this morning. Because some of you do not have much to live on. In fact, some of you have been living under a long time. I hear some of these preachers get up here and talk about the depression. Some of our young students look up there and say, isn't it still going on? I mean, they figure the depression just came and it's still, because some of them been living in the depression ever since they got down here. Some of you don't have much to live on. Say amen. Be honest now. Don't be lying. You ain't got much to live on. But if you're saved, you have much to live for. Happiness. Go over this world looking for it. Spend money trying to find it. You know what a preacher said? He said, go out searching for happiness. Look all over for it. When you get done, you'll be like the old lady who lost the spectacles and found happiness was planted right on her nose all the time. Let me tell you, go out there and look all over this world for it. Some of you dumb chumps, try everything you want to try. Go out there and search and look in all the world, the flesh and devil. When you get done, it'll be right in front of your nose. It'll be right under your nose where it's been all along. That's no con job. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to fool you. It's real. God's real. Salvation's real. This book's real. Heaven's real. Living for God's real. And that's all there is. It's real down here. So, man, it's so. Let me tell you, the best the devil has to offer won't compare with the worst God has to give you. Doesn't matter. Happiness. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you say you need to realize it. A man came to a poor Baptist preacher who was a tax assessor. He said, I've come to tax you of possessions. What do you own? What property do you possess? The man said, I'm a very wealthy man. The tax assessor said, list your possessions. He said, all right, I will. First of all, I have everlasting life. Next, I've got a mansion in heaven. Third, I have a peace that passes understanding. Fourth, I have joy unspeakable. Fifth, I have a divine love that never faileth. Sixth, I have a faithful, godly wife. Seventh, I have some healthy, happy, sometimes obedient children. Eighth, I've got true, loyal friends. Nine, I've got a song in the night. And tenth, I'm waiting for a crown of life that'll be given to me. The tax assessor said, you're truly rich. The problem is, what you've got can't be taxed. You got it. If you're saved, you've got everything that I said right there. Thank God for the happiness. A.B. Simpson said, it's not an honor to our master that we should sit under the juniper trees and hang our harps upon willows, walk about this world in the shadow of death and despair. An old Christian lady said to him, I won't be unhappy. She said, it is all I've got to give to God, and I'm going to praise Him and glorify Him with a happy face and a radiant life all the days of my life. She said, I won't be unhappy. Some of you say, I will be unhappy. God, you are not going to make me happy. Save my soul, forgive my sins, give me good health, give me a place to live, give me friends, give me a church to go to, give me a Bible, give me the Holy Spirit, give a song in my heart, give me a promise of home, a mansion there. I will be happy, God. You're not going to make me happy. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our forefathers had enough sense to know it was found in one person, God. They gave up everything they had. They came to this country with no promise of anything but only God and His Word. And let me tell you, those settlements that met, those settlements that had nothing, had to go out and fight for their food, were happier than some people in Pensacola that are living in houses that cost $1 million. Life! Jesus. Liberty. Jesus. The pursuit of happiness. Jesus. 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 And it's nowhere else. I can tell you how to find what our forefathers were looking for. You didn't know I was so smart, did you? Amen? I mean, I can tell you how to find life, liberty, and happiness. If you're lost, trust Jesus as your Savior. And if you're saved, quit messing around, singing the blues, yo, sorry, Christian, and get happy in Jesus. Wouldn't you be a sad sight if He came right now and caught you with that old long face? What were you doing? I was just sitting in church complaining about Brother Jim's message. I said, well, you know what's the best that dumb fella could do? Oh, happiness. Several years ago, a lady who made her living washing people's clothes down by a river. She fell in that river. Current took her down. Well, she did. There was a man there that was a good swimmer. Jumped in, saved her life. Pulled her out on the shore, and he left. She became unconscious, and a little bit later she woke up, and she said, I want to see the man that saved me. She said, I want to see. When she woke up and finally got consciousness, this man came up to her. She just took his hand and hugged his neck and said, thank you for saving me. Said, I was drowning. I was going down. You saved me, and I thank you for it. She's a poor woman. She had nothing but an old wash tub that she owned that she washed people's clothes in. She said, I don't have anything I can give you to show you how much I love you, but this old wash tub. And if you want it, you can have it. And the guy said, I've got plenty. Pulled out of his pocket and gave her some money. Got that old wash tub and passed it around and said, put some money in there for this lady. Man, there one day, she got all the money she'd make in 2 or 3 years. She said, what a day this has been for me. I was drowning and I got saved. And when I got saved, my Savior gave me riches untold. You and I are on the river of life, folks. Some of you have gone down once, two. You sent out, Mayday! Mayday! Here he came, right on time. He saved you and you didn't have nothing to give him but an old dirty washtub and your filthy rags. And instead of you giving him something, he said, well, I got plenty. Here, take it. And he not only became our Savior, but our blesser again and again and again. Poor, wretched, and vile were we. But he saved us, and he blessed us, and he keeps filling that bucket over and over again. Yeah. You don't believe it. I know it. Hallelujah. Life, liberty, and happiness. You'll find it in Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Man, that's what he did for me. I said at graduation, this last year was the hardest year of my life. In some ways it was. But I'll tell you the truth. I wouldn't change it for anything. If that's how it had to be, and God said that's how it had to be, bless God, that's how it had to be. By the grace and power of an almighty God, I want to live what our forefathers sought. Life, liberty, and happiness. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I can tell you where you can find what our forefathers looked for, and that's in Jesus. And some of you Christians don't have a song in your heart, don't have a Bible in your hand, you got a frown on your face. Are you happy? Are you happy? You've got a little freedom to do what you want. You got a little freedom to miss church whenever you want. Take a little drink whenever you want. Sneak out to a movie whenever you want. Watch some dirty VCR whenever you feel like it. Are you happy? Pete Jr. talked this morning about, got up and made a joke, what he wanted to be in life. He didn't want to be me. I've had the best of it. If I went home today, I'd go home with a shout. Praising God. Hallelujah. I haven't done what other people could. God never asked me to do it. But I know one thing. I found out what life's all about, folks. I found out what true liberty is all about. I found out what true happiness is all about. Are you happy? Some of you that say you're happy, you better let your face know about it because it doesn't know a thing about it. You got joy, joy down in your heart. It must be the only place some of you got it. It ain't shown on your face in months. Now, if you're happy in what you're doing, you love God and you're pleased, hallelujah. I'm just telling you where the Bible says life is at. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundant. Liberty. The Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Happiness. Jesus said, if you do these things, happy are ye. Lord, bless your message. Bless the word preached this morning. May it do the work in hearts that need to be done. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What number? 166 in our hymnals. We want to sing just a verse or two of an invitation. Maybe God's spoken to some of your hearts. If you need to come, you come. Kneel at this altar. If you're lost this morning, you're wandering around in this life, you're in pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, I can tell you where to find it. You come on down here to the front. If you're a man or a woman, we'll take the Bible and show you where it can be found. In Jesus Christ. And some of you that are saved, you ain't enjoying life. Life is the pits for you. You don't have any liberty. you don't have any happiness. Our forefathers knew it was in God. Let me tell you, folks, over 200 years, it hadn't changed. It's still in Him. How long has it been since some of you really had the joy of your salvation? How long has it been since you really just enjoyed being saved? Glad you knew the Lord. Glad that heaven was your home. Hallelujah! God wants you to have life. God wants you to have liberty. God wants you to have happiness in this life. God knows there's enough tears. Get you a double handful of happiness and hang on to it. Dip your bucket down into the well of salvation and get you a full bucket and drink it in this morning. Then here, let's sing on this first one, 166. And if God's spoken to your heart, keep coming. On the first. Serve me. Come on, you need to be down here. Some of you are not happy. You're not enjoying life. Come on. Come on now. You and God. Find it. Come on. Search it. Let Him search you today. Fall down at this old altar and do it. Think about what you're singing. I praise the Lord. Praise it. Real liberty, folks. Real. Done what God wants you to do today.
I know what I've preached is true because the Word of God says it, because I've experienced it in my life. I've looked and seen people that have sought life, liberty, and happiness and everything you can imagine. The only true people who know what life is about and have real liberty and happiness are the people that are saved and living for Jesus Christ. If I had it all do over again, the only regrets I would have is I'd like to get saved much earlier. 1 year old, if it was possible. 2, 3, just as soon as I could. I'd like to start preaching when I was 5. I'd like to be pastoring when I was 7 years old. You said you're kidding. Oh, no. I could make a living other ways. I could make more money. Much easier. But I like it. I'm happy. How about you? Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the independence that our forefathers fought for, the life, the liberty, the happiness that they pursued. I believe man, although surroundings and circumstance may have changed, but man has something that's been placed in him by you that makes him pursue life, look for liberty, and want happiness here. And Lord, help us to see that apart from the Creator and the Author and the Sustainer of life, there is no real life to be found. Speak to the heart of that unsaved man or woman here today. They're looking for these things. May they come to you and trust you, and even before they leave today, believe on you. And for those Christians, Lord, and I know what it is. I wish I could say I was always happy, but I'm not always happy. I wish I could live happy all the time, but I'm not. But I know you want me to be. And I know if I'll just draw in close to you, stay on my knees, and stay on this book, in the midst of the darkest valley that I've ever walked through, I can find some happiness that you'll give me. I'm looking for the happy day when you call me home. May it be soon, but until then, help us to live for thee, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you, and good day.